Being the big vinyl lover that I am, I'm proud to tell you about Joe's Albums in their two locations. The original shop at 317 Main Street in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts, and their second location out in Western Mass at 5 Market Street, Northampton. Both of these shops are loaded with both new and used vinyl. It's hard to walk in either shop and walk out empty-handed due to their amazing collection of records and other cool goodies like t-shirts, mugs, posters, etc. If you can't find what you're looking for in the retail stores, check out their website, joesalbums.com. Thank you, Joe, for being so cool. Hello, my fellow rock and roll fans. Please consider supporting this podcast for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/twistedrico. Once again, that's patreon.com/twistedrico. Keep the rock and roll alive. Welcome to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. How's everybody doing? We got another good one for you today. Carissa Johnson is on the show. You heard the song Congratulations to get us started a few minutes ago, just released in October. Great song, and the video that accompanies the song is also fantastic. I suggest you check that out. Carissa and I had a great talk, which we'll get to shortly. All right, listen, I want to take a moment right now to thank all the people that have reached out to me in the last couple of weeks. The response to the last two shows has been amazing, and I really, really appreciate it. I appreciate you all very much. This is the reason why I do this podcast, is because I want people to enjoy the content. Lots of people reached out to me after the interview I did with Roger Miller from Mission of Burma. Same with Miss Lynn and Blowfish from Boston Groupie News and Andrea Gillis. I know these are popular people around Boston. I can tell by the response that we've gotten. 2024 has been amazing so far. Leah Callahan was on, Andy and Emily from Hammered Saint, and the Dogmatics episode. How could I not mention that? I feel like I'm getting exactly what I hope for from doing this podcast. I get to talk to cool people, I get to hear their stories, and then I get to hear from listeners. And everyone's happy. These are messed up times that we live in right now, and we need to step away from all the anxiety and the chaos that exists in our society here in the States. So trying to find ways to do that is not always easy, but I like podcasts. That's why I do one. And I listen to a lot of other people's podcasts as well. So I'm glad that you're here listening. This show is definitely succeeding, I think, and I'm thanking you all for the support right now. It's 100% appreciated. I also want to say hey to the folks in other countries that support us, the UK and Australia. We have a lot of listeners in those two regions. And of course, Norway, where the show charts constantly. I mean, we've charted in Norway more than anywhere. Thank you. All right. Carissa Johnson has been at it for nearly a decade, and she's assembled quite a body of work. It seems like just yesterday that I first heard about the buzz that she was getting. I was out in Pittsburgh. People were telling me there's this new artist out here, Carissa Johnson. She's young. She's cool. She's a great songwriter. And wow, she just keeps getting better and better as the time goes on. Now she's living in Brooklyn. And she has a pile of great records since 2015's for now. And her tunes keep getting better and better. I've been joking with my friend Skybar Luzardi over at WMFO, Skybar Rising Show, about getting Carissa on the show for some time. Will it finally happen, Skybar? All right. What do you say we get to it? Here I am with Carissa Johnson. Welcome to those of you watching on YouTube. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. If you want to hear this entire show with intros, outros, and music, please go to Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Please welcome to the show, Carissa Johnson.
Hello.
I heard you say somewhere that your name gets spelt wrong a lot. I have had that
problem. It does. It's so funny. Coffee cups, like even just ever, people say my name wrong all the time. It's kind of funny though. I kind of embrace it now. When I was younger, I was like, it's Carissa. But now I'm like, no, I want to see the different interpretations of it. But I'm sure yours gets spelled wrong too, right?
Yeah, you got the two E's. First and last name.
First and last. That's the good thing about my last name. Everyone gets my last name right.
How do they get Carissa wrong? It seems like an easy enough.
There's like a lot of K's involved, or like double R's, one S. Sometimes I'll say it wrong and people think I say Krista or Kristen or Chris, or like there's all these different, I guess they're not expecting Carissa, like those letters together, because I think it's kind of a more uncommon name. But I've only met like one or two other Carissas in my life who've spelt it this way. And then the ones that I've met, a couple that have spelt it with like a K, or like Clarissa, but it's rare. It's definitely rare.
You know, you're so young and you've been doing this for so long. And I want to talk about that with you. But at first I was wondering, you grew up in Arlington, right?
Andover. So close to Arlington, but the same age.
Andover.
Andover, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you weren't as close to Boston as I actually thought you were. What was it like
Yeah.
growing up there?
It was okay. It's a good town. It's more of a sports town and it's a good school town, but like there was no music growing up. And I got all the music influence from my family, my dad especially. He used to play in Boston a lot in bands, and he got me going with a lot of like his favorite Boston groups and like just good rock and roll growing up. But I had no other outside influence because I was just in this town that focused on sports and like there wasn't anything else to do.
Did
So
your dad play any recording bands?
he did. There was a band called The Bones, and they were around in like the late 80s, early 90s, and they play like The Rat and The Channel, and they didn't play too much, but they played a few of the really cool spots that I never got to see. And he always talked about it. And when I was younger, like real little, I used to see them play at like the Haverhill TV station. Like the bassist ran HC Media, what it is now. It used to be just like Haverhill local TV, and they'd perform there, and I'd run the TVs and like I was filming them. And I remember that being a big influence because they were playing, they would do shows, kind of like more intimate shows for friends. When I was born, like when my brother and I were born, my dad wound up kind of like going into other things and just focusing on being home with us. And the band would just kind of play like once a year for a special event. But growing up, I always thought that was cool. I'm like, what's the Boston music scene like? Like, I want to get in there. I want to see what that's all about. But Andover felt so far away when I was younger, because I couldn't drive. And once I got my license, I drove in every day. Like, I was just like driving into the city, going to all the venues, going to all the shows, and that was life-changing.
Nice. So that would be like Andover's like 20 minutes outside of Boston, maybe half hour.
Yeah, I think when there's no traffic, it's about 25, 30 minutes.
That's not too
Yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned your dad. I imagine he must have played a lot of music. Is that how you found a lot of your music when you were younger? I mean, I was going to ask you some of your early things that you remember hearing when you were young.
I went through a huge Beatles phase when I was younger. I wanted all their CDs. And I think just because they're so colorful and at the time something clicked and I was like, this is really good. I need more of this.
Who is your favorite Beatle?
John has always been my
Me
favorite.
too.
In high school, I went through another phase where I was just like all about peace and anti-war and all this. And John really like, he's the guy for that. But I love Paul. I love just the pop sensibility that he has, and like just, I mean, and then after I picked up bass, he was someone that I always went to look for inspiration. Like, how's he doing it, and how's he playing those crazy lines while also singing, which is something I still can't wrap my head around. But yeah, I was into the Ramones, and there was also a time like my dad would play a lot of really good music, but I wanted to rebel against it, and I was like, he was playing the Ramones and all these bands that I wound up falling in love with later, but at the time I was like, what is this? I don't want to hear Avril Lavigne or like the A-Teens or like the music I was into at the time. But he introduced me to a lot and still does. He's taken me to a lot of concerts and got me into like Social Distortion, and he's a big Led Zeppelin guy, just like hard rock stuff. So there's that influence. My mom too, she's super into a lot of hard rock. So it was cool growing up with parents who are into music and encouraging the creative side of me. That's really helped.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now you mentioned
Wow.
bass, so you didn't start on the guitar, you started on the bass.
I did start on guitar, but I picked up bass just because there was a band in town that was like the only band in my high school who was like a band, and they needed a bassist at one point. And I was just asking about the talent show because I was going to do a solo acoustic thing, and I was like terrified. And they were like, I asked the singer of the band, I'm like, hey, do you know when the talent show is? And then he was like, oh, by the way, we need a bassist if you want to join. And then I was like, oh, I don't really play, but that would help me get on stage, and I'd be kind of like a side member, so I could kind of like get those, get the courage to get on stage. I think that would be great. And then I wound up being in that band for 5 years, and we played around, started playing Boston like 20. Must have been like 2014, 2013, 20-ish around there. We did like all Asia and Middle East, and then
Really? What band was
yeah,
that?
it was a band called Left Hand Blue. And it's
So
funny because it just kind of stopped, and then we both did our solo thing. But we put out like five albums.
you did?
We did, yeah. And I don't even know how many people know about that.
I thought I knew a lot about you, but I hadn't had no idea that you, I knew you were in other bands, but I didn't know you had five records out with another band. That's wild. I'll
Yeah,
have to.
there's a singer, this my friend Matt Minigel. He went off and did a solo thing, and he does a lot of stuff with like Mary Lou Lord and Annabelle Lord Patey, and he doesn't do too much music anymore, but we started together and just did so much for like it was like 5 to 7 years, and that was really like my intro into playing music and wanting to be in a band and like doing it.
That's fantastic. So were you
Yeah.
writing at a young age? Did you start writing at that time?
I think I was in middle school when I started writing songs. I joined that band around high school. But yeah, it was my therapy. Like I would just go home and just write poems. And then I was like, I wonder if these could be songs someday. And I didn't really know how to put them to music. But at the time, I was just learning every Joan Jett song I could and learning how song structures work. And then I just started putting my songs, like the poems I was writing, to melodies. And then I was like, oh, I guess this works. And this is how it happens. And then I just started writing, making them into songs. And the producer that I worked with Left Hand Blue, wound up being my producer for my first two albums, mostly actually my first three albums. And that really helped too, just having his help and his guidance. And then knowing the process and just being able to be like, all right, now I'm gonna like try to put together a band. And yeah, I mean, I went through a few different bands of like being a bassist, and then before I got the courage to do my own thing, it took me a minute to feel like I was able to do that, I
You were
think.
still pretty young though when you started doing your own thing.
Yeah.
19, maybe 18.
Yeah, I was 18. Yeah, when my solo thing started, and I put out a couple acoustic albums before For Now came out, and those two have also been kind of swept under the rug. They're very anxious albums, but they're like the start of it all. And I just went into the studio and just recorded like six in a day, and then I did another six. And then I started dabbling with the full band stuff, and I did a couple drum, like I played drums on a couple, and then I started doing bass on a couple. And then because I played bass so much in Left Hand Blue and got comfortable with it, I was like, I don't see myself fronting a band with electric guitar. Like I don't have the technical skill needed for solos or like the actual technology of like guitar pedals and like sounds and all that, where like I just really love plugging in and just playing and supporting the song because I'm more focused on the lyrics and like what the song means. So as long as I can sing it or like just get the words out, I don't really care what instrument I'm playing.
I
And the
love
bass,
that. I
I
love
just fell
that.
in love with the bass. Yeah.
I love that because I'm one of those people, I have to read the lyrics when I listen to music. And I love that Bandcamp puts all the lyrics. I was reading some of your lyrics this morning,
Oh,
as a matter
yeah.
of fact.
Oh, cool.
You have an incredible body of work, and it's been almost 10 years since you started with your own stuff. Now that I know about this, it's been longer than 10 years. When you look
Yeah.
back at where you came from and where you are now, how does that all make you feel at this point? Because you're still really young.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because this past February, I just turned 30. So I felt like it was kind of a reflective age to kind of like be like, wow, what was happening last decade? Like when I was 20, or like just thinking about 10 years ago, I'm just like, everything was so different. Like I was still like just leaving Left Hand Blue at that point. And to think of all the things that I did over the course of the past 10 years, or all the people that I met and the places I went, I definitely took a moment to just be like, wow, like let's like step out of this right now and just like look back at that, because there are so many moments when I'm like, I'm not doing enough. I'm not where I want to be. Like it still gets to me sometimes. And it's like, how? Like I've done so many things that I wanted to do. Like I should like honor that and like think about that. And so I just took a moment to be like, yeah, a lot has happened. And all the goals that I have now, where I think like they might be unreachable, I'm like, well, I thought that when I was 20. And then I wound up playing Paradise or opening for Damone, or like these things that I thought were impossible wound up becoming reality. So I'm like, what if like in 5 years I can play Saturday Night Live, or like I can get on Fallon, or like these certain things that just feel like they're like way out there, like way out there. Like that's how it felt when I was younger, like playing Sinclair or like getting into some of these bigger venues I was able to in Boston. So that's been kind of nice to just reflect on. I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, you came out of the box pretty hard. I wasn't living here. I was living in a different city at the time, but I remember because I was long associated with the Boston music scene, so I knew a lot of people. In fact, I remember when you won the Rumble LEV from the Charms, who I used to manage their band, called me and said, I just was a judge in the Rumble, and this girl, Carissa, you got to check her out. So I've been hearing about you for a while. I know that was a few years after you were in the game. Before I ask you about your catalog, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyways. I was going to ask you about your songwriting process. Some people say they write out of emotion and some people write out of force. I was going to ask you which way you write. I think I know the answer to the question, but I'm going to let you answer
it. It's funny to hear that some people write out of force, because that doesn't sound great to me.
No.
I'm like, that sounds painful. It's definitely not out of force. And I'm realizing that now because I just haven't been writing as much lately. I think I definitely write out of emotion, and like, it's a therapy for me. Like whatever I'm going through, like it's my way of sorting out my thoughts. And then I think also it's subconscious, but just wanting to connect with someone else who might be going through the same thing in order to help myself and to help them. And so that's the beauty of live music, when I realize it connects and I'm like, oh my God, they get it. And then I feel better because I wrote this like alone crying in my bedroom. And then it's like this thing that then makes that experience worth it. So it's my way of turning around things that I don't know how to make better. Because if I can turn it into a song, then I'm like, oh, well, the experience was worth it because look at this. And look at what this is doing. But there have been moments too where, like in 2020, when I wasn't playing, I didn't really know what to do with myself a lot. And I wasn't really feeling inspired to write, but I was just like home staring at a wall. And I was like, what if I just did a song a day? Like, what if I just wrote a song a day? And it could be trash, but or it could be stream of consciousness, just anything that means nothing. Just like to get ink on paper would feel good. And I'm doing that again too, to just kind of like get it flowing again. Cause I think I've just been in such a transition now, like moving to New York, being here, paying rent. It's like a lot of new challenges, and I don't have the same amount of time to sit down and write or to like even be in my emotions, which is another form of therapy. But I feel like when I have the time and I'm able to just sit at my desk and like sit with my guitar, a lot of stuff just spills out, and it's always words first. And then I end up putting that to a melody. But yeah, it's more of like a means to an end. It's like working through something, sifting through it, trying to make myself feel better. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Like if I cried when I write it, I know it's going to be a good one. And
True.
That's usually my like telling sign of like, should I keep it or not? Because sometimes if I'm just writing just to write, I'm like, what's the point? Like there's nothing really to hold on to here. But it still does help to kind of just get like, you know, anything that's in there out.
A song a day is really ambitious, but I can tell by your catalog that you've done a lot of writing. Plus, you mentioned the poetry thing, and that's a great way to get the ball rolling. So do you feel like if you go through a real hard situation in life, like a breakup or something like moving, like you mentioned, something like that, you immediately want to start writing?
Yeah, I think depending on the situation, it's funny too, because like throughout breakups, I think there's always like a good 3 to 4 weeks of just processing time and kind of just like moving through the feelings of it, where like writing about it would make it even harder. And I almost feel like I have to be past something in order to dig into all the feelings of it, because I feel like I can get really creative with that lonely feeling and I can pull from it for days, but I have to be somewhat apart from it, because I think if I'm really in those feelings, the last thing I want to do is like just keep on like exacerbating it. And sometimes writing can feel like that, unless I'm really like working my way out of it. But yeah, I don't know, like the past couple singles I wrote, Congratulations and I Surrender, were kind of like experimental, because in the past, like Blue Hour was a really sad album to me, and I was kind of like wallowing in those songs, where like it was like, why does this keep happening? This keeps happening. And then I realized that it started manifesting again. And I was like, oh my God, like even the metaphors that hadn't happened came true in real life. And I'm like, it's because I'm chanting these things out. Like, what if I started singing about what I wanted to happen, or like how I wanted to feel?
Did you go to school at all? I mean, did you go to college at all, or did you read a lot? Because you seem very intelligent about how you approach it.
I think it's a lot of it's like experiential. I went to UMass Lowell for 2 years and I studied graphic design, but I left to pursue music. And then I just hit the road and toured for like 2 or 3 years straight. And then I wound up finishing school online, so I still continued my degree. But I have yet to like really finish it and get a bachelor's, but I just left it off at like associates. And I was like, I just want this to like add up to something. I don't want to just like leave school and like pay all that money for nothing.
Right. Did you take like writing courses? Writing courses?
I took a couple writing courses in high school. There's creative writing, lots of art classes, visual art, stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of the writing just kind of, I've done so much of it on my own. I think just like journaling, and then also just processing middle school and high school and college. And I don't know, I think I was like getting myself into a lot of cycles of like almost like self-induced loneliness, where I was just always seeing myself as like on the outskirts of things. And so then I would always pull from that feeling. And that's something that I was like working my way out of with the last two songs, where I'm like, what if I was like not just like seeking this feeling or like self-sabotaging so that I can write a bunch of songs about this feeling? Cause it doesn't feel good. But I wound up connecting a lot through that, cause it's like a common thing. Like a lot of people feel that loneliness or like just like that aching for connection. And I think I've just spent a lot of time alone or like a lot of time doing something that like I can't really relate to many people on, or like touring all the time or like traveling all the time and like just being away or like running away. Like I think a lot of it was just me like running away. So I had a lot of time to think.
I love a good sad song myself, yeah. You know, breakup songs, totally. Sad songs are the best.
Yeah, we need sad songs.
You know, looking through your catalog, are there any records that you are like more proud of than the others? I'm just going to go through some of these with you that I'm looking at and maybe discuss the videos too, because you've had quite a prolific career here. For Now was pretty much the first thing that you did, right?
Yeah, that was the first solo album.
Now, It's Tomorrow in Melbourne. Did that come out as a 7-inch?
Yes. Yep. That was a special release. I did like a limited, very limited run of colored vinyl, and that was the A side. And then there was a B side, Bound to Be.
Of course, that's the single I want to find because I love limited edition things like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you one. They're all different colors, too. Yeah.
I have such a great way of asking for stuff without people knowing it. And, you know, you were really busy during that time. Then you put Only Roses out in 2016. And then it was, you know, after that, the Rumble happened the next year. Did you feel like an immediate impact? I'm going to sneak a few questions in between the catalog here. Did you feel an immediate impact from winning the Rumble? I wasn't around when it, you know, I used to go to the BCN Rock and Roll Rumble. So I don't know what has happened since. But did that help you a lot?
It did. It really did. I think in just like helping people like hear about me and like just like more awareness to what I was doing, I think that like just really got the ball rolling. Because I had really just kind of broken to the Boston scene like as a solo artist in 2016. And that like I started meeting people and like going to the Rumbles, and then I was like, maybe I could play 1 year. And like I kind of swore off competitions too. Like I was like, I'm not doing any battles of the bands. I had done multiple of them and lost terribly. And I was like, I just don't feel like there's like, I don't know if it was because I was losing that I was just like, they're all wrong or something. But I was just like, this is just bad, because like I don't want to compete. I just want to play. And I would turn it into a silly thing. Like my band kind of started off as like a comedy rock band. And then there was a moment when I was like, okay, like I want to be like punk rock. Like I need this to be more serious. Like I know there's good songs here. And I feel like the Rumble really helped showcase that in a way that I was like, wow, this is like really cool. Cause it's more of a showcase. It's not a competition. It's the whole Boston music scene gathering together, and it's about community. And that's what I love about it, where I was like, I didn't even want to win. I was like hoping not to win. And I was like, but again, like I, of course, who doesn't want those prizes? Like who doesn't want free studio time or like, you know, any sort of free coverage or like just to be in there, to be the first female since Amanda Palmer in like 2004.
Oh, like, I didn't know that. Wow.
That was also really pushing me, because I was like, a woman hasn't won this in like 13 years. Like, it has to happen.
I didn't even realize that. And I followed the Rumble for years. But now that you mention it.
Yeah,
wow,
there weren't many. I think over the course of like since the 70s, there's only been a handful of female fronted groups that have won. And that was pushing me a little bit, mostly like for the women in the room. And just because it was such a like women's year, I feel like in 2017, like there were so many new bands and like new women picking up instruments, and it was just exciting. But yeah, there was an energy there. It was crazy. I have yet to feel the same energy at a show that I did at those Rumble shows. And
really?
It was really exciting. Yeah, it was just that something was just really magical about it. And like, I think it was just everybody coming together. And like,
was it
the
TT's,
last year.
TT the Bears?
This one was at Once Ballroom.
Once. Oh, yeah.
The years
okay.
Before that, they were at TT's, but one TT's had closed by this point.
That's right.
So it moved to Once, and Once was also just that place where everybody hung out, and they had the upstairs hangout area, and like it was just such a cool community, and it still is. I think like the Rumble's changed a lot. That was the last WZLX Rumble, and we didn't know that at the time. Because it changed over. There was a break in between, and then there was 1 year with the internet radio, and then COVID. And then after like 2 years, I think it's going to be back this year, or was back last year or something. But it definitely helped. It's funny because like the Rumble's been around for so long, and it's meant something. It's meant the same thing ever since the 70s. Like, it's just like a big group of rock and roll bands like playing and having fun. And then there's like a lot of stakes too. Like, it's like there's a lot of good prizes. The cash was helpful. But I was able to then work with Benny Grotto because his studio, Mad Oak in Boston, had a prize for like free song and free mixing, which then led to me doing all of Blue Hour with him.
That's funny. I was going to talk to you about Benny, and you just thank you for doing that.
He's been such a big part of just like my growth as an artist, and he's helped me so much. He was my drummer at one point. But he's been great. And it led to a lot of connections like that. Or like people being like, I heard of you through the Rumble. Here's this opportunity. Or like, and I'm like, this is just crazy. Like, the amount of connections I made through that was pretty insane. And it still keeps happening. It's like the gift that keeps giving.
I might be a little out of order here, because I know that I remember following the whole time that you were working. You were doing a lot with Vanessa Silverman.
Yeah.
You guys toured together a lot. That happened. Did that happen before or after COVID? Because COVID kind of like screwed everything up for everybody.
COVID was the halt to that. we toured in 20. It was basically right after the Rumble. I had met Vanessa. And then we just got on the road together instantly. And then it was just like 2 full years. We did 10 tours over the course of 2017 and 18. And then I was living out in LA for like a year, but while I was living out there, I was touring. So I don't really see that as like an actual place I lived, because it was just kind of a base to go
you
back
lived
to.
In your van, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I moved back home in like 2019, and it wasn't short. Like, it wasn't long until COVID happened. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm not touring anymore. I don't even really know how to like after all of that happened, I kind of was like, how do I even go back to playing the same venues I did in Boston? Like, so many of my favorite places closed. Great Scott's no longer there. Like, Thunder Road's no longer there. The mid-level venues where I was like the only, it was like, that was the place. I was like, it wasn't going to be entry level. It wasn't going to be the huge ones, but it was like all of these places just completely closed. And like, a lot of the people were still there. A lot of people had moved, but I was like, I was really hoping I was going to move to LA, actually, like right before COVID happened, because I was living there, moved home. And then I was like, I got to go clear my mind and figure out what the next steps are for me. I toured across the country on a tour for 100 Restless Thoughts, which was an album I put out in 2019, which is actually pulled from online, but it's on the Bandcamp. But I drove across the country, got to LA on March 1st, 2020. And was going to be there for 2 months.
Oh,
so I
no.
had to be for 2 months, and I was going to look for an apartment, had to fly home, ship my car across the country. And then I was living at my parents' house for 2 years. And then that was when I was like, well, I got to get out, but I don't want to go to LA anymore. And I was like, well, New York's like the next bigger Boston. Like, what if I just went somewhere and like challenged myself a lot? And then that's kind of how I wound up here.
Wow, that was a lot, huh? Did
Yeah.
you where did you live in LA? Because I lived there for a long time. I'm just
Really,
curious.
I moved to East Hollywood. I
Oh,
was like,
East.
yeah, between Fountain and Santa Monica.
It's become the new hip section of town in the last 10 years or
Oh,
so, for
yeah.
sure. Okay, I'm
Yeah.
glad you said all that because I was definitely out of order because I thought you were
Okay.
with Vanessa later than that. How did you two hook up? Because you guys work together quite a bit.
I opened for her actually at O'Brien's in
Really?
20, I think it was like March. Yeah, March of 2017. I opened for her. And then it was just such a match. Like I was like, you're touring the country. How are you doing this? And she's like, I'm just booking myself. And I was like, oh my God, I was just booking my own tours. And I had just gotten back from my first tour that I did with, or second tour that I had done with my band, that I just like went out to the Northwest and was like, I'm just gonna go out for 2 weeks. And I admired that someone was doing it just nonstop. And I was like, basically, like, I was like, can I come with you? Like, I can do this. I can help you. Like, we can do this together. So then we just wound up working so well together and just being on the same page. And like, we're still business partners. Like, we still work together and book other artists.
Oh, that's
And she's
great.
in New York now too. And it's just crazy how it's all kind of come around because we just were like together for 2 years straight and then apart. And then now we're back working like in a whole different way together, helping other artists. And that's been really cool because we did a lot of talks together, like DIY talks to like Apple and then like Girls Rock and Sound Girls and just groups of young people who want to know how to make a living as a DIY artist. And we made a blog together about it and like all of our
I
travels and
followed a lot of that. You guys are great together. I was
Wow.
wondering, I didn't know, I didn't realize you guys were working together still. That's fantastic. Great match.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. She's a great person to work with and she's so smart with this stuff with touring and being a DIY artist. She's like the queen. I always called her the DIY queen.
Yeah, she's really good. I don't want to just skip over some of this stuff because I know you
Oh
did.
yeah.
I wanted to mention that I heard your cover of Emily
Oh, the
Haynes.
metric, yeah.
I love Emily Haynes. She's like
Me
one of my
too. She's so
fantastic.
good.
You did a
Love
Nana
her.
cover too. The Good
Yep.
EP came out in 2020, right?
Yes.
And then you
Yep.
mentioned the Restless. Excuse me. 100 Restless Thoughts.
Yes.
I should mention, I didn't even say your band's name, The Cure-Alls, because you've done a
Ah,
lot with
yes.
them. Then in 2021, you did an album with them, Talk, Talk, Talk. That's when it came out, anyways. I don't know if you recorded it in 2021.
Oh, that one actually, Talk, Talk, Talk came out in 2019, I think, or 2018.
The Bandcamp
Oh,
date
on
got me
Bandcamp, it was
confused.
added later. Oh, I gotta fix that. Whoops.
Like I said, you've put out so much music that I can't even keep track, but
I know.
I'm going to get back to Blue Hour though, because I was
Yeah.
going to ask you, because I love Benny Grotto. I think he's one of the best engineers around. And I think the music that comes out of Mad Oak, the drum sound, just everything about that place. Now, I was going to ask you how you met him, and you already told me that you met him because of the Rumble. So you
Yeah.
won a prize to go record with him. And did you guys immediately connect and hit it off right away?
Yeah, I love his process. I love the way he works. It's just like boom. Like everything is just like do it, done. There we go. And I'm like, this is magic. Like I just love the quickness of it. And like he's just so down for all the ideas I have. And he's super like tech savvy too. And like as far as synths go and keyboards and like the new elements that I was wanting to add in, like he's just so well versed in that stuff. And I always make a joke that he Berklees my music, but like he Berklees it up. And I'm
Did he
like, I
go to
can't
Berkeley?
Berkeley. He went to Berkeley, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm not going to hold that against him.
I
But
think I'm pretty sure he, yeah, because he went
that
there.
was a joke, by the way, for you Berkeley people. I have nothing
Yeah.
against Berkeley. I know a lot of great musicians that have gone there. It was a
Oh,
joke.
totally. I have a lot of friends who went to Berkeley and like admire them for it. I'm not technical. Like when it comes to music, I'm like, this sounds good and this works, but it's all just like by sound. It's not by like this works because it's math. And Benny's very mathematical. And I was just like if I would send a demo to him and he's like, oh, it has to be this note or like there's all these notes happening, but they don't technically work. And then I'm like, okay, I'm thank God I have you because I don't want it to be all dissonant. But he was good at like taking the ideas I had and actually like implementing them. And then also just like wanting to grow from that rock and roll sound, like the gritty, punky sound that I had when I was working with Doug Batchelder with Only Roses and For Now, was something that was like necessary for those years when I was making those albums. But then I was like, now I want to kind of like gloss it up a little and see what I can do on like the poppy side, or like if I add synths, or like if I'm now listening to Dua Lipa and want to start like adding in some sort of pop elements. I don't feel comfortable going to Doug for that because he's not going to be into it. But Benny is as excited about that stuff as I am.
I love the Blue Hour record. You know, that one really, the song Wasting Dreams. I mean, minute I heard that, it jumped right off for me because I heard all the other instrumentation and I'm like, okay, she's going a little further now. You know,
that was a stretch. Yeah, that was a stretch for me too, because I was like, I don't know how to do this.
Well, you're really good with just the guitar playing solo, but now you're adding all these other things to the music has really been helpful. I didn't type this up, but I wrote this down and scribbled on a piece of paper. The song You.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about some of your videos because I think they're fantastic. I'm going to segue there. That's a love song, You, right?
Yeah, it's a love song for my friends.
Where did you shoot that?
That was at the Belford Center of the Arts in Braintree, or not far from Braintree. It's like that new, it's like they're renovating this huge like hospital grounds that like, or it's just like this huge outdoor campus that they're starting to like implement musical elements in, and they're like, just use the theater like for free, like if you need
fantastic.
It
fantastic.
Like,
I
how
love
in the world?
Love that room. I was like, where is that room?
And there have been, Paper Tigers did a music video there, and I think Still Gold did a music video there, and like I think because we all had done the festival that they did, and then we all checked it out and we all were like, can we do a music video here? And then we all put out music videos like months apart from each other in the same place, but that place was amazing.
And the other videos I've seen, like Congratulations is wild.
Oh, yeah.
Your videos are like, are these directors that you're seeking out? Video directors?
You was filmed by my brother because he does drone stuff. And that was super simple. That was only like a couple hours. And he did the handheld camera too. He's done a lot of my videos for Blue Hour as well. He did sound and Running Uphill.
Tourist was on that, right?
Oh yeah. So Tourist and Congratulations were the same group. So there's a group in New York called Jampson Films, and they are
People.
Incredible. Yeah, they're so good. And they came up with like these full out concepts for these songs that just completely took them into a whole other world. And that was my goal, because those were like hard songs for me. And I was like, I just want to make them silly and fun. And like, they're all of them are kind of based in the world of comedy. And I was like, this is just going to be a dream to work with them, because they'll get it. And they got it. And it was just like, it's so funny. Congratulations is probably my favorite one that I've ever done.
Is that the one with 228,000 views?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't checked.
That's
a lot.
That's pretty good. And the cast of characters just cracked me up. I was
the
wow,
first one was so fun. Because that one was one of the, because I was filming the music videos basically when things started opening up in 2021. And it was like my way of just like being like, I'm going to go do everything that I want to now, because I wasn't able to the past 2 years. And I was like, I got a credit card. I'm going to California. I'm going to the sand dunes. I'm going to do these crazy videos. And then I was like, I'm going to do a crazy video with a bunch of characters and like have New York enter like an apartment setting.
I
And
think
like,
you're perfect for New York, by the way. I mean, I love LA. I lived in LA for 14 years. I'm going there for 3 weeks later this summer. And I lived in New York too, but you seem more New York to me than LA. Is that a good assumption?
I feel that. I was so obsessed with LA when I was younger because I really loved the palm trees and the warmth and just how different it felt from what I knew. But then something, I'm such an East Coaster. Like, I'm not meant to be in LA, I don't think.
Do you
New
live in
York
Brooklyn?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, you're perfect for Brooklyn because it's like East Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's got that grit. I love it.
Everyone's making, you know, there's a lot of TV shows that have come from there. The video people are creative. It's such a really good environment for you. Your videos, fantastic. I mean, I love everything I watched. I wanted to ask you about Swivel because I've played some of your songs on my show before, and I play it in Swivel too. I thought Swivel. You mentioned Damone. Is it all of the members of Damone that were in? I mean, who's in Swivel with you?
So Noelle LeBlanc from Damone is the singer, and then Ken Susie from Unearth and As I Lay Dying, he plays guitar. And then we've had a few different drummers. Pat Politano was our original drummer, and he used to play around Boston with other bands with Ken. And then now we have Ryan Manning, who he plays with everybody too. He's in a band called Blitz Kid, and he played with he's played with my band a lot. We've done a bunch of band like shows together, but he's just this, he plays everything. So it's the four of us, but yeah, working with Noelle has been a dream come true, because growing up, Damone was one of my favorite bands ever, and I always just wanted to meet her, never mind like be in a band with her. So
yeah, you're like a skateboarder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of figured you'd like. Yeah, I didn't mention that before. Actually, there was another video I watched where you were skateboarding around an empty city. Was that during the pandemic?
Yeah, that was April 2020.
Well, yep. Sorry, I go all over the place
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, no, I love it.
So Swivel, was that just like a one-off project, or do you plan on doing more with them?
We've kind of started playing less. We started in 2016, and we were really going at it like in 2016, 2017. But we all have other projects that are like the main project. So Ken's always on tour with As I Lay Dying, and then Ryan's on tour with Blitz Kid, and then Noelle does, she did Damone for a few years in there when they were making their reunion happen. And then I've always been doing my own solo thing, but it's so fun when we get to come together because it's just fun for us. Like there's no real pressure of like, this is all we've got, or like, this is what we're gonna do. Like
you guys
for the
bring the rock hard too, man.
Yeah. Ken and Noelle write most of it. And I love both of their music in general. So it's like such an honor for me to just play bass with them and be on stage with them. Like when I first joined, I had like a lot of imposter syndrome where I'm like, how am I here? Like, how do I deserve this?
You're a good bass player too, though, by the way. So
thank you. I love that band. I think we'll do more, but it's just few and far between now. But
I didn't want to. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about them. Now, the last thing you did was I Surrender, right?
Yeah.
So, I think Benny played you and just you and Benny, right?
It was just me and Benny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
He sang on it too. His voice is kind of subtly in there too.
So, moving forward, are you and Benny like in cahoots to do more together? Because you guys were—I know you live in New York and he's up here, but you have family here, so you're probably here a lot.
I come back and forth a lot. I'm actually going to be coming back this weekend, and then the following weekend. So like I'm back almost once a month. I want to work with Benny. I think it's more of a financial thing now, where I'm kind of like, how do I afford music in general?
How do you afford living in Brooklyn? Jesus.
Now, that's the thing. I was able to afford music because I didn't live in Brooklyn. But now I'm kind of trying to figure out a way that I can still record and live in Brooklyn. But I'm still kind of getting that all together. And we did record a lot. Actually, there's like three or four other songs that we did when we recorded I Surrender and Congratulations that are like 75% done. So my goal originally was to just make another album, but I think I'm going to either do an EP with those or do some sort of like bedroom recording of just like a bunch of songs where I'm like, here are just my songs and I'm just going to put them out there and like not be precious about it, because Blue Hour was such a precious project where it was like, I mean, it was precious, but it was also like, I'm just letting go. Like, I'm just going to like let go of control and see what Benny can add to this, because collaboration is also something that's like new to me, or like I have a hard time letting go of like the grip I have on my ideas. And so that really helped working with him, where he was like, I had a song Polaroids that was a punk song and he turned it into like a ballad. But I was open to that because I'm like, you probably have better ideas than I do. And I just want to put something out and like make it the best it can possibly be. But now I'm kind of like changing it all up. And I'm like, what if I spent $0? And what if I just put out like the rawest thing ever? And like, I don't do full production music videos and I just do like phone videos, or like it's kind of experimental to me. Like it sounds fun to just go completely 180 and just see what else
strip
can happen.
It all down.
Strip it all down. And it's funny because you mentioned You. Like, that song was such an outlier on that album, where like everything was so super produced synth pop, and then You was just this like acoustic unedited song, and that stood out to people. And a lot of people were like, that's my favorite song. And I was like, I think it's because it's the little weirdo on the album, and it's like really raw. And I'm like, people connect with the rawness these days, and like, I don't want to hide behind anything. So like, I think I might do something that calls for less production next, but I love Benny so much and will hire him for everything when I can. But I think we're going to work together again in the future. I'm not sure yet. Like, there's no plans. There's no like dates booked, but he's my favorite. And I love Doug too, who I worked with Only Roses. I talked with him recently about working together again. I'm like, I would love to do like something more punky again. And like, there's just all these different sides of me that I'm like, I could do the punky stuff. I could do the pop stuff. I could do just solo acoustic, or like, who knows? I just want to like put stuff out there. So
it's weird, because one of the earliest things I ever learned when I started working with labels in my early 20s was people used to always say, you got to surround yourself with talent. You're doing that. You've got Benny Grotto. I always say he's an engineer, but he seems to have these producer skills, you know, and you're mentioning that right now, where he's able to like look at a song and help you figure out what to do with it.
He has a lot of good ideas, a lot of good visions, and like, he just has the best ear. Like, he knows where to take the song, where it's going to make the most sense. And he's really good with that. Like, there's sometimes when I draw things out for too long and he knows when to cut it, or when I don't draw it out long enough where he's like, we need to add this little piece here, and then it's like the best part of the song. So it's really helpful. I couldn't do this all by myself. I'm scared to do anything alone, because like every time I go to do like my bedroom album or like my like just self-recorded album, I'm like, I gotta take this to somebody else, because like I can't put this
Before I let you go, I have to ask you what you're listening to, if there's any music that's really hitting you these days, or do you go back and listen to older things? Do you listen on a turntable? Do you stream? What's your whole deal with that?
I have records, but I don't have a working record player. But I have the records in the hopes that I'm going to get one soon and listen on vinyl. Because I feel like that's the ultimate experience. But it's also, it's hard because I'm a minimalist and I don't like having things. And I like, that's why I sold my old record player when I was like getting rid of everything. And I didn't use it as much as I thought I would, but I like streaming because of the convenience. I feel like CDs are the optimal form of music, because it's like a mini vinyl and it doesn't take up much space and you get the whole package.
You kind of grew up in the CD generation.
I grew up
too.
In the CD generation. Yeah. But they're totally, no one thinks that. So I feel like they're going out of style.
We all hate them now.
Yeah, I know. No one likes
CDs. I got 10,000 of them, but I hate them.
Yeah. No, I got rid of all of mine too. But I don't know. I've been actually, I really like when random stuff comes onto my Spotify, or like I'm somewhere and I hear a song and I Shazam it. And right now I just have so many random songs that I've fallen in love with because I've heard them. And it's like, there's this artist, Kate LeBon, who I really love. A lot of her stuff has just hit me where I'm like, this is just so good. Like, she has this album, I'm going to find it. There's this song, sometimes I just listen to one song for 3 months straight. And I think that's like problematic, but
I've done that. If I like a song, I'll listen to it 3 times in a row and read the lyrics and try and figure out what's going on. I can relate.
Yeah. I've always been like that. And like, I just get obsessed with like an album or an artist for like a span of time. And then I find something else and then it changes. So right now, Kate LeBon, her album Pompeii is one of my favorites. I've been listening to, I'm trying to think of even like, I feel like I embrace my quiet time in New York. So like, in my free time, I don't feel like I listen to as much music as I did before, but it's still a lot of like the artists that I was listening to just for the past, you know, however long, that I just love and have kept up with. But I'm going to look at my Spotify to even think of who. I mean, the Las Internacionales, they're great. I love them. Patti Smith, I've been going through a pretty big Patti Smith phase. And I've been reading all her books. and like finishing the ones that I started years ago.
Wave is one of my favorite albums. Todd Rundgren did that one's great.
So good. PJ Harvey. I've been listening to a lot of PJ Harvey. And
just
yeah,
got my tickets for PJ Harvey.
Really?
It's that new place in MGM. I haven't been there yet, but a friend of mine picked up a couple tickets for us. So I love PJ.
Oh, she's so good. I would love to see her live. But yeah, it's kind of like a big mixed bag right now. Amy Mann, she's one that I've just listened to forever and love everything that she does.
Hey, thanks a lot for talking to me.
Totally. Thank you.
I think you're great. You know, you've been at it and you work hard and you've got all these relationships with different musicians and producers and I think you're gonna do great. I know. 228,000 views is only halfway to where you're going. You're going quadruple.
Thank you
back.
So much. Every now and then I have my doubts, and it's good to have a little check-in like this and just be reassured. So thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. You and I were carried by the moon. Every time she shines, something's out of tune. I remember you by how hard I hit the ground. Easy to cry when I think about it now.
Carissa Johnson, I Surrender. What a songwriter she is. Great songwriter. I really enjoyed talking with Carissa. She's really cool. I never really had a conversation with her before, even though I've been listening to her music for the last 10 years almost. That song, I Surrender, by the way, I wanted to mention, she recorded it with Benny Grotto, that great Boston engineer and musician that everyone is talking about, and they've been talking about him for a while. Those two are really good together, really good. And I hope to get Benny on the show one of these days. We're working on that. We're working on that. All right, if you want to reach out, please write me at twistedrico@gmail.com. If you're a musician or a songwriter and you have music, please send it. You might hear it here. You might even hear it on the Mirror Stars podcast, another podcast which I do for fun. If you can't get enough of me here, by the way, check out Mirror Stars. There's 5 new episodes out. The latest is all about the neighborhoods. And we had a lot of fun doing that one. One song, one record, and one concert. That's the theme we've been going by. And that was really hard with the neighborhoods, believe me, because they have incredible catalog. And I knew I nailed it because Lee Harrington got in touch with me, the bass player of the neighborhoods, afterwards, and he said he loved it and it made him emotional. And that's good. I like making people emotional in a good way. All right, we also have an Instagram page, Facebook, Threads, YouTube page where you can actually watch the Zoom interview I just did with Carissa Johnson. And there's also a TikTok page where we put up a lot of clips from the show. All right. Also, please consider supporting this podcast on our Patreon page, patreon.com/TwistedRico. If you can't do that, just tell one person about this podcast because I love the way it's grown organically, and I'd love to keep it going that way. I don't want to force it on people, and this is what we've been doing, just putting out content every year, every week, and people like it. And if you want to support us for $1 a month, please do. patreon.com/TwistedRico. All right, that's going to do it for this time. Till the next time we say goodbye, this is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive.